This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. It's Monday, OG, and you know what that means?
It's time to party?
It is time to
party. Time to drink coffee.
It's actually time to party
with almost my birthday.
The troops. Almost time to party with the troops. Because we had the Army-Navy game on this last weekend. And you know, it was a big game, but way to go.
It's obviously the Navy.
But even if you're feeling down, on behalf of Navy Federal Credit Union, a big shout out to the men and women in our armed forces. Let's all go Stacks and Benjamin. Let's all go Stacks and Benjamins together, shall we?
Easy for you to say.
Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
Live from Joe's mom's basement, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and have you ever been catfished? These days, that means when some lovely lady or lad on a social media app wins your heart with their texts, has you send them your deepest, most embarrassing playlists, and then turns out to be some drifter in Minnesota asking for bus money from the library computer. Today we're talking about catfish, both because that's what's for dinner at Joe's mom's house, and two, because we welcome to talk about financial catfishing from the 2010 documentary thriller Catfish and MTV's show of the same name, Neve Schulman. And then, dude, we're going to talk about like a fair amount of bones on the TikTok minute. Plus, we'll YOLO some headlines and throw out a rad Haven lifeline to a listener asking about all those copious fees. And now, two guys whose photos Len Penzo uses to catfish on Tinder. It's Joe and OJJJJG.
And when we're the upgrade for your catfish scheme, something might be going very wrong with your plan. But hey, everybody, we're going to do this anyway. Welcome back to Monday. I'm Joe Salcihi, hi, Average Joe Money on Twitter, and across the card table from me again, my wonderful friend OG. Happy Monday.
What's happening?
I am ready to conquer another week. This is our last normal week of work. We've got a full slate of shows, as you know, next week, OG. But next week, yep, the craziness starts around the basement here. And of course, somebody's got a birthday next week.
Well, yeah, and
yeah, the baby Jesus has a birthday.
Also him. At the end of the
week. Also that guy. A little bit less important. But we've got a big week next week. Of course, the week after that. But last year, we created a countdown of our quirkiest shows. This year, we have another countdown between Christmas and New Year's. And we're going to give you just a full slate of shows. And that's our gift to you. 5 days of holiday goodness to end out the year, coming in 2 weeks.
You could only be so lucky.
Special guest next week. But you know what? Who cares about our guest next week? It's Clark Howard, by the way, which is... Ooh. Awesome. Yes. But even more awesome. Did you watch that documentary Catfish back in the day?
No, I probably should have caught it, but
Neve Schulman is here. He, if you remember, was the guy who got catfished in that just train wreck of a show, which is why, it was so popular.
Train wreck in a good way.
Well, train wreck because you couldn't stop watching. It was a train wreck in slow motion and you kept watching and you knew it was going to be awful. And it was, and dude got his heart broken. And of course things weren't at all what he thought it was. And they got it all on film. And from there, of course, the big MTV show Catfished with Neve Schulman, who's here today with us upstairs talking to mom. Neve is, But we've got, of course, our TikTok minute, yo, and a great headline. So let's get this party started. Oh, we can't get this party started yet.
No party started.
No, because this episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. It's Military Appreciation Month, and I want to share appreciation for one of our stackers I met in Cleveland for the second time. Keith just drove his car off the road. But Keith, a proud military member, I enjoyed seeing Keith. And you know what? Eric was there too, who was in the Marines, but both of these fine gentlemen served our country that I met in Cleveland. I want to give a shout out to them. And this Military Appreciation Month, Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate not just Keith and Eric, but all their members who go above and beyond. Navy Federal offers member-only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to empower their members and help them reach their goals. They offer 24/7 help from their U.S.-based member service centers. They offer resources like Best Cities After Service to help veterans transition to civilian life and Best Careers for Military Spouses to support our military families. All branches of the military, veterans, DOD employees, and their families are eligible for Navy Federal membership. Visit NavyFederal.org/celebrate this month, and you'll see all of our Military Appreciation Month offers and other Navy Federal offers. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Now let's get this party started.
Hello, darlings. And now it's time for your favorite part of the show, our Stacking Benjamin's Headlines.
Our headline today comes from the Wall Street Journal. A couple stored some gold in their basement. Gold was in an IRA.
Allegedly.
And oops, they now owe the IRS more than $300,000. This piece written by Laura Saunders. It's official. Owners of individual retirement accounts with assets invested in gold and silver coins can't store them in a safe at their home. So ruled the judge in a recent tax court case, Andrew McNulty et al. Versus commissioner. The decision will cost Mr. McNulty and his wife, Donna Dearly, taxes of nearly $270,000 on about $730,000 of IRA assets, plus penalties likely to exceed $50,000. And the reason, OG, is that they didn't follow IRA rules. And because of that, they're paying penalties to withdraw the money from their IRA forcibly. And of course, now they have money in a non-qualified account, but the penalty was $250,000.
Said a different way, they're not being forced to take the withdrawal. It's being deemed as if they did.
Right.
It's like you
but in process, had access to this. It's the same thing.
Yeah, you had access to this, so therefore it's got to be, you know, regular account. It can't be an IRA.
The rule, of course, here is that if you touch the money, if you have access to the money and the money is in your IRA, you violated IRA rules.
Yeah, and these folks it's such a sad story, like in a lot of forms. Like, it's not just the, hey, I read online that I can keep gold in a safe and call it my IRA and nobody's the wiser. Like, it's not only that, it's also the fact that somebody thought that it would be a great idea to move their entire retirement portfolio into an asset class that's god awful. I barely even call it an asset class. 7 years ago, right before the market's only gone up 4 times.
And to keep it all in your basement.
Yeah. I read on the internet that you could do that. So it must be true.
Yeah, that's the sad thing. They say that, you know, there were radio show hosts that said that you could do this. There have been tons of people that say, hey, why have regular stocks, bonds, the regular stuff when you could have these alternative assets? But it doesn't have to be even this crazy, OG. A lot of people say, hey, I want to buy that vacation property, right? I got this place on the beach. The only money I have available is money in my IRA. And somebody that doesn't understand the rules. I mean, how many times have you had somebody ask you, they go, yeah, my buddy said that I could probably take money out of my IRA and buy this beach house. And because you can buy property with your IRA, you can buy property with your IRA, but it's significantly more complicated. And complication number one is you can't go there.
Well, what we're talking about are what's called prohibited transactions. And anytime that you have the ability to benefit from something, if you have the ability to benefit from the money, just think about it like in your investment account, right? You've got your IRA, it's got $10,000 in it. If you take the money out and benefit from it, if you have the ability to consume it in some way, shape, or form, it's not a retirement account. It's something else. It's the regular account. And so that translates to all these other sort of esoteric, like dream type investment things. And we see these schemes going on all over the place. And I use the word schemes both in the context of being negative and also just describing the fact that there's also different ways, because I know that there's people out there who are like screaming right now going, but I do it and it's perfectly legal. And I know how. I get it. I know. But there's also an increased likelihood, significantly increased likelihood of blowing it up somehow. And as these folks found out, they were doing what they thought that they could do, and they blew it up anyway. And it's like the quadruple whammy, right? It's the, oh, hey, by the way, this thing was a bad thing that you did 7 years ago. And because it was a bad thing 7 years ago, now you owe us all that money. Oh, and since you didn't pay us that money, then we have to charge you interest on the money. Oh, and you didn't pay the money or the interest, so now there's penalties on the money. Oh, you don't have the money? Oh, well, guess what? Now you have to sell all the stuff that you have in order to pay the money. It's this vicious death spiral of bad luck and bad advice.
We were talking early last week about young investors who are frustrated with advisors because they won't show them alternative investments.
Like yurts in the Utah.
Yeah, but you know what? We've heard that before, right? Well, this person just wants me to invest in the normal stuff. They're not showing me any of these more creative things.
Yeah.
But creative here can be a two-way street. I mean, creative could be really, really, really bad. And I know that a lot of advisors, unfortunately, have to talk shorthand. They don't have hours and hours with you. They have your attention for maybe an hour. And of that hour, how much of that time are you really paying attention? You know, you're paying attention maybe for 40 minutes. Like you're going to zone out a little bit. The advisor is going to start talking. You're not going to understand what they say. So you're not going to get it all. So the advisor's got to be quick. They got to be to the point. And they got to tell you, no, I don't think we should do that. Yeah, I don't think yurts in that thing with your IRA money are a great idea, period. They can't tell you the fact that this is a bigger, deeper mess and all of the layers and layers and layers of things that they're thinking about. You know, one thing that we talked about in my book is about if you want to be more wealthy, to strategically under-diversify. And by the way, I also said that advisors won't tell you to do that. Advisors don't tell you to do that because it's also how you blow yourself up, right? So a good advisor will never tell you to take a ton of money and put it in one business. And it can make you incredibly wealthy, but it can also end the game much, much sooner. By the way, I looked at where this came from, OG, because this isn't the first headline we've seen lately. This is from Forbes a year ago. Ashley Ebling wrote this for Forbes. She says, got alternative assets in your IRA? Watch out. So a year ago, a new government accountability office report says the IRS is coming after your IRAs holding unconventional assets. So a year ago, we have this headline, and then now we have this Wall Street Journal headline.
Well, and it's kind of sort of on the heels of the big Peter Thiel, I've got $5 billion in my Roth, and you know that's not fair to everybody else, article that ProPublica had by stealing everybody's tax returns. So, and they continue to do it, by the way, which is... I don't get that side of the story not coming out, you know, how is it okay that people are getting their tax returns stolen and nobody cares about that, but they care that Peter Thiel, smarter than the rest of us, put $5 billion in a Roth. I don't know.
Shame on him.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't tell me for a moment that not every single person listening to this would do that if they could.
Right.
You know, go back in time. I would love to.
By following the rules, by the way. by following
which
the rules.
I assume he did.
He did, you know, follow, like, the rules. He followed every rule.
There's probably not a, you know, not an ounce of stank on that. He probably said, well, let's make sure we follow all the rules. That was probably a conversation he said. But I see a byproduct of that is people say, well, I can't get to 5 billion, but there's got to be a shortcut. And somehow I'm going to figure out the shortcut. And there just isn't. There's not a shortcut. You have to play the long game. We talked about that just, when did we talk about playing the long game? I feel like just yesterday.
I know. We did.
Maybe we talked about it coming up this Friday. I can't remember.
We talked about it live on Fireside for our Friday recording, and it is coming up on Friday.
Yeah, we just talked about it coming up this Friday, playing the long game. Meta. Anyway, but there's no shortcut to this. You can't squeeze in something and try to just do it the right way. And the cuter that you try to get, the more money it's going to cost you to try to fix and maintain. It just does. I have a very complicated business thing going on right now, and I have 7 other professionals working on it right now. 7 other attorneys, CPAs, bankers. I mean, it's crazy.
But you avoided the $24 IRA fee.
I sure did. Because officially my pool is part of my IRA now. I can never get in it again.
No, kid, don't.
Ah, kids.
Oh, crap.
All right. Now we can't get in the pool from
there's
now on.
There's the tax bill.
I've officially transferred all my Nespresso cups into pods into my IRA.
I think this is a lesson, which is that, you know, sometimes these ideas we think are great on the surface are much more complicated. It's not that you can't do these, OG. You definitely can do these. And like Peter Thiel, follow the rules. You can do this. You can have esoteric stuff. But the IRS, watching more lately, and we're also seeing people make some big mistakes just because they didn't know. By the way, I didn't know doesn't fly in court.
No.
They couldn't say, I didn't understand the rules.
Well, the guy on the internet told me that I can.
And avoid that tax. Hey, time for our TikTok Minute. This is the segment of the show where every Monday we shine a light on some TikTok creators and chat about the awesome stuff that they are producing. Is this one great or ridiculous?
Ridiculous.
All right, let's take a listen. This comes to us via TikTok Investors. These are two young gentlemen talking stocks, OG. Let's listen in, because I think it's probably, I think you're probably wrong. It's probably goodness.
My grandma gave me, like, you know, a fair amount of bones.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, I called my brothers in finance. I'm like, put all of this in Billabong.
Yeah, my dad's been a little bit skeptical of my kind of stock instincts as well.
What's your portfolio right now?
Well, so he wants me to do, like, more blue chip stocks and then, you know, take some risks on with some of my portfolio on some, you know, more fast rising companies that aren't as well established.
Mm.
But to me, it's like, Dad, that's all just verbiage.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
Talk to me real. Talk to me like a man to man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when I come at him, I just go, Dad, pokey.
Yeah.
Do you love it? Does everyone love it?
Yeah.
Who's got the best pokey on the mainland? Bear Flag. Let's invest in them.
Yeah.
They're not a publicly traded company, which is crazy.
Dude.
Because what's their market cap? $3 billion? They got 3 stores.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're probably doing $1 billion each.
Dude, their IPO is going to be off the charts.
It's going to be huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
that's initial public offering.
But we're sitting on that. We're waiting.
Yeah.
So then we go, okay, PokeShack. That's a publicly traded company.
Yeah.
That's when we can invest.
Dude, throw some serious bones on that. Talk to me like a man, OG.
PokeShack.
That's
like Chipotle.
We're using the wrong terms.
Bruh.
Dude, talk to me like a man about stonks. It's awesome.
Does your son use the word bruh?
No.
B-R-U-H.
No.
It's got to be the half a generation between him and my kids.
What? Because your kids do?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bruh.
Throw some bones.
Or it could just be their school. I don't know.
Your kids throwing some bones and some stonks? Hey?
Yeah. Talk to me, Goose.
We got
to
do more. And hey, I mean, on one end.
Talk to me, Joe. IWM. Small cap stocks. What do you think? Go.
Well, they got 3 stores. They're probably making $1 billion a store. You know any stores making $1 billion a store?
Index funds. That's go. Talk to me about index funds.
VTI, baby. VTI. It's all you need. Good on these guys.
I like that they're talking about it.
I do like that they're talking about it. And actually, while you know, there's definitely an age gap that makes us make fun of the language, OG, on the other end, they're talking about it. They're making mistakes. They're even taking it to the masses. So good on TikTok investors who said, the more that I watch this, the more, the better it gets. Because I've listened to this clip like 40 times. You keep picking up new stuff. Listen again.
Grandma gave me like, you know, a fair amount of bones.
Mm-hmm. That means cash.
Just, you know, called my brothers in finance. I'm like, put all of this in Billabong.
Yeah, my dad's been a little skeptical of that.
I'm going to give you some fair bones and I'm going to put all this in Billabong.
I didn't know what that was. What is that?
It's a bada boom, bada bing, babe. That's what it is. Did they say that anywhere? Bada boom, bada bing? Probably not. See, I'm mixing it up. I'm too old. Thanks for that. By the way, TikTok investors, a great Twitter feed to follow. Great tweeter who tweets out the tweets. Bro.
I know you're sitting here watching me tie a tie around my t-shirt. There's a reason for it.
Just going to hang yourself from listening to this?
No.
Send your mad tweets to me, Joe, at stackingbenjamins.com and help us make this segment another good time on the TikTok segment. Hey, coming up, Neve Shulman is the creator of the MTV show Catfish. He also co-stars in the show. They're in the middle of a new season. I think we'll ask him about that. But he's got a new project, OG, where he's talking about financial catfishing. Financial catfishing. It used to be that we would, how many times have we talked about older people getting scammed? Especially this time of year, you see a lot of older people falling for scams. Well, guess what? With the rise of social media, guess who's getting scammed now? A lot of people in their teens and 20s being scammed as well. It's a topic we haven't talked about much. Neve's going to help us with that. But first, look who we got here. Mr. Catfish himself, Doug. Doug, what do you got for us?
Hey there, Stackers. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. You know, I received some distressing news from Joe's mom that we will not actually be having catfish tonight. She door-dashed some brisket. Guess whose account got charged? I thought I changed that password after she went on that sushi binge. Wait a minute. I just realized I got catfished about catfish. Speaking of fish, do you know what angling-related term describes an investor who looks for bargains among stocks? I'll be right back with the answer after I find something to ease this fish craving. Maybe like some tuna or goldfish or something. Oh, not those kind of goldfish.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they can also be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. Oh, God. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. U.S. Cellular, a company that sells phones, wants us to put down our phones and to see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Hey there, Stackers. I'm sad catfish aficionado and DoorDash fraud survivor Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. Ready for that trivia answer? Well, if you're fishing around for cheap stocks, chances are you're not interested in the long-term value of the stock. You're scavenging, looking for something that someone else dropped on the floor, which would make you what the people call a bottom fisher. And definitely do not look that term up on Urban Dictionary. And if you do, that is totally on you. And now, time for Mr. Catfish himself. Here's Neve Shulman.
And my new friend Neve Shulman joins us. How are you, man?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks so much for having me. I like that giant, what is a $100 bill behind you there?
Yeah, that doesn't look fake at all for a guy that deals in fakes. Like, you think I could take that to the bank?
Maybe. I mean, I guess it's just about just as real as those giant checks they give you when they show up at your house, right?
That's right. Guess what? You just won. But seriously, and I want to get to the financial part of this that you're working on now, which made me so excited when I heard that you're working on this. You've been doing Catfish for a long time, Neve, but where did the idea originally come from? How did you get started with Catfish?
Well, as much as I wish I could take credit for having the initial idea, it was certainly not an idea. It was more of a, I guess you could call it a strange and unusual sequence of events that happened to me, wherein I essentially met and became friendly with a group of people, a family in Michigan, and developed a romantic relationship with one of them. And over the course of 9 months, grew closer and closer, and finally went to meet them. And it just so happened that my brother and our best friend, Henry, are filmmakers, and they had sort of documented the process and came with me. And when we got there, we discovered that the whole family, particularly the young woman I had been talking to, were not at all who they had said they were. And we ended up making a documentary called Catfish.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That first documentary that I watched, right, which was creepy as all get out, that was seriously the beginning of this whole now institution.
That's right. Yeah. So what was a very small, unassuming documentary turned into a major phenomenon, because I think the experience I had of having someone create a fake account, and in this case, many fake accounts, all with the intent to lure me into and engage with me in a romantic way, was not a unique experience. It's something that has been happening previously and certainly more so subsequently. And a lot of people wanted to talk about it and were experiencing it themselves. And so that's why the show has been successful now for nearly 10 years. And the stories keep presenting themselves, and we keep having, you know, content to discuss. And similarly, why I was excited to sort of transition out, not out of, but into a conversation very closely related to sort of fake romance, which is obviously online scams.
Yeah. And we've actually, it's cool, Neve, you'll appreciate this. We were recording a show one time, OG and I got called by a scammer right as we were recording. It was one of the IRS scammers that you've seen. And we actually got this long, long, awesome recording. And I want to get back to that in a second, but I want to play for people that aren't familiar with Catfish and don't know anything about this. This institution now is so strong that, well, on your TikTok channel, which is flipping hilarious, by the way, Neve, it is so the creativity that you spend on your TikTok channel, which we're going to talk about again with you and Zell and working on this. I want to play just one TikTok about Catfish. This is an amazing Catfish song. Let's listen in.
Ellie said he's 6'4" and a model for Chanel Couture. Saw his picture on a dating app and you thought, wow, I like some of that. Started texting every night, told him all about your life. But when you met him in July, well, it's safe to say you got a fright. Cause you have been catfished. Oh, it was so savage. Cause it turned out he was 55. And all the pictures he sent must have been another guy.
That is a beautiful singer. Her voice is amazing. Nina Nesbitt, I believe is her name.
Yeah.
With you in the background, of course, Neve. Doing the,
exactly.
But it's so, why do you think so many people for so long continue to get catfish? Are we just, we have people continually preying on our hopes and dreams that this really is something it's not? What's going on?
I think that for many of us, and I include myself in this as both a victim of catfishing, as well as sort of an early analog scam myself on the mean streets of New York City, people are always looking for something great that's going to make them happy, whether that's a relationship or a vacation or a tax return from the IRS that we just need to, or a long lost relative in Europe that died and left us a bunch of money. I mean, there's, our lives for the most part tend to be mundane. We're constantly looking for something to come into our lives and change them for the better. I think that's why people are so easily lured into online romance scams, because someone's talking to you, they're flirting with you, they're texting you every day, good morning, good night, how are you, I'm thinking about you. And that emotional flirtation feels very exciting. And then financially, you know, the idea of getting a great deal on something or somehow getting some unexpected amount of money can be life-changing for some people. And so I think we're all vulnerable to that. And unfortunately, there are lots of people who are looking to take advantage of that.
I want to dive in more to some of those topics, actually all of those topics, but as a way to kick it off, you're doing this with Zelle and it's on your TikTok channel. So once again, it's going to be hella entertaining because it's Neve and now Zelle. And I'm going to play one where you're one of these scammers. Let's listen to this one.
Hi, this is Mark with your bank. I've noticed your account's been locked and I just need your bank credentials to help you get that unlocked.
And then you go through a few tips here. Your bank will never call you for personal info. They already have it. If they say it's urgent, you got to question it. And of course, hang up and call your bank. Some great tips there. That scam happens all the time, doesn't it?
It really does. Unfortunately, it's not hard for scammers to find out what bank you're with and obviously get your phone number. The scary thing is, you'll get a phone call. The caller ID might even say the name of your bank, which is something that can be manipulated. And a very legitimate sounding agent will get on the phone and say, hey, we just noticed some suspicious activity. We want to make sure we have your information correct, or one of your accounts has been compromised. We'd like you to move your money to a new account that we just set up for you so that it doesn't get taken. You know, there's any number of things that they'll come up with, usually coupled with this is an urgent matter. We need you to deal with this right now because otherwise your money might disappear.
We've seen this, Neve, happen a lot historically with old people, but now as things move online, I bet you're seeing it with much younger people now.
Well, that's why we decided to make this sort of PSA series, because younger people obviously now much more than ever are familiar with and engaging with their own banking day-to-day services. You know, everyone has their own bank account. Most, if not all banks now have an online app, and Zelle is obviously baked into those apps. And so, yeah, if you don't know this and you get a phone call from your bank, and again, in most cases, young people haven't really had the in-person interactions with their bank the way that some of us perhaps used to in a more analog time. You know, if someone calls you from your bank and they seem to know enough about you to confirm that you're you, there's an assumption that, oh, I better give them my information because it's what I'm supposed to do. And so I don't think a lot of people know that that's not what you're supposed to do. In fact, it's the opposite of what you're supposed to do. But if you don't know that, it certainly is an easy trap to fall victim to.
This isn't just with banks, though. I recently had a scam nearly perpetrated on me. And once again, preying like you see on Catfish all the time, Neve, preying on something that my wife and I really wanted. We're looking for a grand piano. There was somebody on Craigslist who told us that they were moving from our area across country and they didn't want to take it anywhere. So it's in beautiful shape. And all I have to do is pay for the shipping and they'll move it. The shipper needed the money today. They wanted me to sell the money today. And then they would bring it to me tomorrow. And once they said that they needed me to sell the money today, like, I don't know, I've been at this game long enough to go, yeah, I'm probably not selling you anything until I see a piano. But it's sad that it doesn't always involve banks.
And that's a great example because like something that feels a little too good to be true, but not impossible, right? I mean, if I were moving and I didn't want to take my piano, but I wanted to see it go to a good home and I was willing to just pay to get it picked up or delivered, like that's very possible. And there are probably people who would be willing to do that in real life, but you're right. If there's ever a sense of urgency or a need for the money to be transferred right away, that is the first or a very good red flag to look out for. And in that case, I'm obviously happy to hear you didn't send any money, but whether you did or you didn't, if you have any information on someone who's using Zelle, whether to request money from you or someone you've sent money to who ends up scamming you, we urge people to report that to their bank.
Good.
Because then the bank can flag that account and hopefully look into it and certainly remove them from the Zelle platform. So even if you didn't end up getting scammed, you should still report it because that person and that account can be flagged and hopefully removed to avoid other victims.
Yeah, that was my next question, was around recourse. Is that really the only recourse we have, is to report it?
Yeah, well, yeah. So when it comes to things like that, sort of scams, Yes, you should always report it. One of the other things that we're trying to communicate to people is, as much as possible, try to keep your interactions on verified platforms. You know, Craigslist is obviously unique because there's no money exchange that takes place inside of Craigslist. But with platforms like Airbnb or VRBO or OfferUp, where you can make the financial exchange in the app or on the platform, we encourage that, because what we're seeing is a lot of people present opportunities on the platform. And then once they've engaged with you and they know you want their product or their service, they'll say, oh, well, if you want, we can, you can pay me off the platform. It'll be cheaper. You'll save yourself some fees. We can avoid paying taxes or whatever. And once you leave the platform, you're no longer kind of covered. There is no recourse. You've elected to send money on your own accord outside of the sort of potential insurance or reimbursement policy.
Yeah, great advice. Are there any scams you're seeing? You know, I feel like the IRS scam, I'm in trouble with the IRS, that was going around for a while. I haven't had those calls anymore lately very much.
Right.
But is there any hot one that you've seen a lot lately?
Well, I think we probably all got phone calls about our car's extended warranty.
Very important.
Right. And I know people, it must have worked because they did it to enough people. And that's unfortunately, that's the game, right? It's not scamming everyone successfully. It's okay, I'm going to send out 100,000 of these emails or make 100,000 of these calls. And if I can get 5% of people to engage and send me $50, that's, you know, $100,000 or something. So
just a numbers game.
You got to, right. It's a numbers game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, right now I think vacation rentals, because people are looking to travel again now, they're looking for deals. And obviously also the holidays are coming. So there's a lot of sort of online shopping scams. Just like you said, you know, people are going to be desperate to get the newest video games. You're going to go on Craigslist to see if you can find a deal. Someone's going to say, yes, I've got it. It's great. It's brand new. It's never been opened. I'll give you a deal and shipping, and you can't confirm it, but you want the deal and you want to get that gift for your kid or your brother, and you'll do it. So you just got to really, really be careful.
That's great. Like I'm imagining Xbox and, you know, because nobody can get the Xbox, the PS5, like these things are probably huge around the holidays. And this is all going to be on your TikTok channel?
Well, yeah. So essentially what we're trying to do is create TikToks that address each one a different sort of typical scenario where you might find yourself unsure or hopefully alarmed at the situation you're in. And obviously also directing people just to the Zelle website, because there's a great resource there of tips and tricks and things to look out for. So my main goal with this is just to get people talking about it, because you're never going to be able to know all the things and have all the tools to protect yourself. But if you're at least aware of the fact that they're out there and looking for potential scam sort of red flags, it gives you at least the initial pause to say, wait a second. I heard something about this. This feels a little weird. Let me double check. Let me call my bank and just make sure that this is legit. Or let me ask this person to sort of make the deal back on the website, because I remember I'm not supposed to do it. So we're just trying to give people those initial kind of instincts.
No, it's fantastic. We have a TikTok minute on the show where we talk about some of the absolutely horrific money advice and sometimes hilariously bad money advice on TikTok. So it is our pleasure, Neve, to direct them to you. We'll direct them to Zelle. Go to our show notes page at stackybenjamins.com. Question about the show. You and Cammy have been such a great duo the last couple of years. What are the two of you working on now for the new Catfish season?
Well, we're thrilled to just still be doing the show. We were able to film pretty much straight through the pandemic and figured out how to sort of make the show remote. But we're excited to now be back on the road, getting back out to travel and meet people. Cammy's got a great, actually, new podcast, sort of unrelated to Catfish, but she's working on. I've also got the Catfish podcast. So if anyone out there listening wants to sort of
dive in.
Well, yeah, wants to dive into the Catfish world, but prefers to do it audio on the, or audibly. Is that a word?
Audibly.
They can find the Catfish podcast. and that's something that I've been enjoying doing a lot.
Well, I was looking at the list of celebrities that ran the New York Marathon recently. You are one fast dude. My fastest marathon is 342. You ran 322.
I ran a 322, which is not my fastest. My fastest is 258.
Holy crap, man. Oh my God.
But, yeah, I mean, I like long distance running, and it's something that I found to be pretty good at. So I think I'm going to put this out there. This is a scoop for you. I think I'm going to see if I can get Dunkin' Donuts to sponsor a Neve marathon like series. I want to run all the major US marathons sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts, because America runs on Dunkin'.
Yes.
So I should be running for Dunkin'.
A friend of mine ran Boston and has that t-shirt that Boston runs on Dunkin'.
Oh, really? That's funny. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Anyone listening works at Dunkin' Donuts and wants to sponsor a marathon.
He put it out there.
Neve
put it out there, peeps. Hey, quick thing on that. That was for a good cause, by the way. I saw you were running for a really good cause.
Oh, yeah. Team for Kids is the New York Roadrunners branch that gets city kids sneakers and on track, gives them a great outlet for both physical exercise, but also potential lifelong sport and potentially, you know, scholarships and all kinds of things.
And by the way, as great a job as you did there, and as fast as I think you run, I look at you and then we see that Shalane Flanagan was running all six major marathons in 42 days. How does that make you feel? Like you're not stepping up, Neve. You got to go, man.
No, there's nothing more humbling than marathon running, because people you'd never think, who are certainly older than me, smaller than me, you know, you'd walk by them and you wouldn't look twice. They'll just crush you. They'll crush you. I mean, it's a very humbling experience to have a 55 year old, woman who's 5'2" just sort of blow past you at mile 20. But it's also a great reminder that, and one of the reasons I love long distance running is that it's so much more of a mental conditioning than it is anything physical. So it's a great endurance sport and I look forward to getting better at it.
Well, hopefully we helped everybody with their mental conditioning today when it comes to avoiding scams. Thanks to you and thanks to Zelle for putting this together. Once again, we'll link to Neve's TikTok channel and to Zelle on our show notes page at stackingbenjamins.com. Nice talking to you, Neve. Thanks for making time for us. I really appreciate
it. Thanks so
much, Joe. Hi, I'm David Hirsch. And when I'm not hosting the Dad to Dad podcast for the Special Fathers Network, which is a dad to dad mentoring program for fathers raising kids with special needs, I'm Stacking Benjamins.
Man, thanks to Neve for stopping by. Oh, gee, no matter what age you are, somebody tells you, hey, why don't you PayPal me that money? Why don't you Zelle me that money, Venmo, and then I'll give you the thing later. If you don't know who they are.
Yeah.
Probably a scam going on. Yeah.
Well, and you know, nowadays they've got these places that you can go to, police stations, fire departments, whatever. They call them like, you know, the open air pickup spot. So, you know, you're selling me something, you know, from my house and I'm buying it from you. We can just meet at the police station out front and exchange the things. We can do the Venmo, or we can do the Zelle thing and get our stuff there as opposed to, you know.
That's great. And if they don't want to meet at the police station,
yeah,
might have a problem.
Little red flag. Yeah. Can we meet at the crack house instead? I feel a little safer there.
Can you throw me some bones? Can you throw me some bones, brah? I can't even say it.
You can't even spit it out.
I can't do it.
It's like, it doesn't even
damn it. I'm officially too old. Hey, let's throw out the Haven Lifeline and tackle some of life's most important questions. Our friends at Haven Life Insurance Agency, OG, they put what you value first.
Oh, definitely poke bowls.
Yo, brah, it's your loved ones and your time, but your loved ones hanging out over a poke bowl. What do you think that does to your blood test there?
Like raw fish? Probably fine.
It's probably pretty good, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why they've created a modern way to buy quality term life insurance. You go to stackybenjamins.com/havenlife. You'll get a free quote. What's the best gift, OG, that you can give somebody this year?
Lots of life insurance.
Lots and lots of life insurance. If I die, you're fine.
You're rich.
StackyBenjamins.com/HavenLife. Seriously, get that in order. You're not going to have to wait several weeks for a decision. And of course, they're backed by their parent company, MassMutual, more than 160 years old. Today, let's throw out the Haven Lifeline to our friend Rena. Say hi, Rena.
Hello, Joe and OG. This is Rena. I have a question about fees from sale of funds. I'm looking at my Vanguard ETF of a tech fund that has 10 bps fees. For example, this year's average annual return before taxes was 29.8%, after tax 29.58%, and the return after taxes on distribution and sale of funds is 17.79%, which is painful. And I was wondering, is there anything we can do to mitigate it and prepare for future sales? Love the show. Happy Hanukkah, guys, and Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Rena, hope you had a happy Hanukkah as well, and Merry Christmas to you. Thank you. Great question, OG. Big difference between what the fund did and what she did. What's going on here?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things. Number one, there's the, and she might be looking at like what she actually did and have calculated all this, or she might be looking at the, like just the website that lists off different returns, you know, before and after taxes. So in an ETF or a mutual fund, you're not in charge of being able to decide when to sell and buy stuff, right? You have a fund manager or a collection of fund managers who decide, okay, today's the day that we add Apple, today's the day that we sell Apple. And whenever there's that sale, if it's a stock that's gone up, then there's some taxes due. And those taxes flow through to the shareholders. So they kind of account for that. No different than if you were the investor in Apple and turn around and sell it, you're going to pay taxes on it. What fund managers try to do is, when possible, make those long-term gains instead of short-term, which is the difference between a maximum tax rate of 20% right now and a maximum tax rate of 37%. That's going to be unique to you depending on where you fall in your income taxes, right? Your long-term gain could be zero, and Joe's, because he's super loaded, is probably 20.
he's shaking his head.
So on the website, they have to give you some semblance of here's what you, you know, here's what it did, but here's what you probably receive, you know, between the gross return and then some assumption of a tax rate. You don't get to control when the fund manager buys or sells their stocks. And if it's an ETF, there's a couple of times a year where they reconstitute the ETF where they say, okay, this is going to be, you know, if it's an index based product where they're going to say, okay, this is the day that we want to look exactly like the S&P today, or this is the day we want to look exactly like the NASDAQ today, or whatever index they're following. And that's going to involve some buying and selling. The benefit of ETFs, of course, is that they can spread that tax rate, and it's complicated, but it's a better tax situation than a mutual fund. Let's put it that way. But there's still taxes. The other side of it, which has happened over the last year and a half, which a lot of people are going to get surprised on this year, I think, is that there's a lot of stock buying and selling going on over the last 2 years, right? Especially in March of last year and in April of last year. And now those fund managers have held those positions for over a year, and it's getting close to the end of the year. We've made some trades throughout the year as a fund manager, so we got to pass those returns on. And just like in your investment portfolio, you're doing 15% or 18% or 20% the last couple of years, those funds have done that too. They just haven't paid taxes on it yet and consolidate all of it and distribute it in one lump sum. So you're going to get a bill from Vanguard or from whomever that says, hey, by the way, you don't know this, but we made a ton of money for you, and now you owe taxes on it. I've seen 7, 8, 9% numbers being thrown around depending on the funds of here's how much the implied tax return is going to, or the tax bill is going to be, you know, for next year. So short story, there's nothing you can do to prevent a fund manager and an ETF from selling or buying or deciding to capitalize that and then hit you with the tax bill. The thing you can look at is what's called turnover. Turnover is a metric. It's sometimes available on the retail side. You might have to look it up at Morningstar. They have that information. Turnover is how often is the trading happening? And the lower the turnover, generally speaking, the lower the tax bill is going to be, because that fund manager is more of a buy and hold type person. So there's not as much, you know, transactions happening. So if I've got two funds and I'm looking at two of them and they're almost identical in every way, and one has an 80% turnover, and one has an 8% turnover, I'm going to take the one that has 8.
If you're outside an IRA. If you're inside an IRA, by the way, Rena, none of this matters. Yeah.
Excellent point. Yeah. You get a way bigger tax bill on the back end. You get that down the line. But that's a good point. If you're outside of an IRA, it is only when all this matters. Correct. So, you know, taxes are a fact of life, right? Death and taxes, only two certainties, they say. And when people get frustrated with taxes, I I get it. I don't like paying them either, but I would love to have $1 million tax bill one day.
Yeah.
That that means that I did something extremely right. And if you have to give back 20% of your profits as your tax for having profit, I would gladly pull the one-armed bandit casino hand of life. I don't know if that all fits, but you get the idea. To pull out 80 cents for every dollar that I, that you know, cha-ching, and I got to give 20 cents and I get to keep 80, I would do that as fast as I could do it.
Yeah.
It's a great deal.
Yeah, our goal is to have Bill Gates' tax bill.
Well, I don't think you want to use that one. Isn't his tax bill zero?
I thought that was...
Isn't that the whole controversy?
I thought it was Bezos. That was Bezos, wasn't it?
Well, I guess allegedly all of them have zero, you know.
Well, whatever. Yes.
Yes. Some rich person's tax bill who pays taxes.
Some rich person who actually pays their taxes. We want their tax bill.
I want that one.
Yes.
I'll take Jeff Bezos. I actually have Jeff Bezos' tax bill.
Thanks for the question, Rena. If you've got a question for us, head to stackybenjamins.com/voicemail. NOG and I are happy to help and explain how the system works, which can be frustrating, but also I think the more you know, right? The more you know. Remember that, NBC? Mm-hmm. The more you know.
I do.
Yeah.
The more you know.
So thanks, brah, for hanging out with me today.
No problem.
Throwing bones.
Throw me some bones. Let's go get a Pokeball.
Talk to me man to man about
Talk stonks. To me man to man. What do you think? SPY, go.
VTI.
All the cool kids are buying it.
VTI. Head to stackybenjamins.com/voicemail if you've got a question for us too. Rena, we're sending some sweet Stacky Benjamin swag your way. So expect an email from mom's friend Gertrude. Hey, that's going to do it for today. Coming up on Wednesday, big, big show on Wednesday because we're talking about a topic we don't get to talk about very often. And I'm super excited because this guy brings the stories. And if you want to hear stories of loss and heartbreak and all kinds of fighting, it's like a good drama on television, except it involves real families. David Eady here on Wednesday talking about picking the right executor for your estate.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know when I say picking the right executor for your estate, some people go, oh my God, that sounds boring. You and I know, OG, that's where the action happens. There is a ton of action, and David Eady is going to tell you if you are an executor, what to do, what not to do. If you think you at any point might be in charge of somebody's estate, what to do, what not to do, and what to expect. And if you're picking somebody to help out with your estate, how to avoid some of those pitfalls. That's on Wednesday of this week. So good stuff. This is also the last call for the Trading Curious. If you're somebody that we haven't talked out of trading, you're somebody who loves to just trade some stocks. You know what? OG and I, we've got sandbox accounts as well. And we get frustrated when we hear people, you know, after a few foamy beverages, they just jump on the old Robinhood and start just wheeling and dealing a few stocks that they know a little bit about. What if you had an actual system? What if you did this in a way that could actually maybe make you some money? Well, Jess from Delta Trading Academy is joining me on Wednesday. I partnered with them for this webinar called 5 Trading Myths that we're going to dispel, and we'll answer your questions about trading. She'll also introduce you to this concept of having some rules in place, OG, of setting yourself some boundaries and doing things the right way. If you're going to trade, or if you're trading curious, if you wonder what trading's all about, you know what? We realize there's some of you that are going to do it no matter what we say about buy and hold. Let's do it the right way. And they've been teaching people trading for 40 years, which is why we wanted to partner with them. All right. That's Wednesday, stackingbenjamins.com/trading to sign up for that. stackingbenjamins.com/trading. And that's at 5 p.m. Eastern. Do the math on wherever you are. All right. I think that's it. Last but not least, if you are looking for better decision-making, maybe having some more bones thrown your way, bruh, talking some stonks with some cool people, OG and his team taking clients. That's the way they talk to all their clients, bruh.
Shoot me straight.
OG and his team, they sit around going, talk to me like a man. That's what they do. StackyBenjamins.com/OG is their calendar. And you can talk to them about making better decisions in the future by integrating their team into your team for better financial planning. All right. That's going to do it for today. I think we got it. All right.
Let's do it.
Doug, what should we have learned today?
So what should we have learned today? First, always listen to your father about investing advice, even if he's using big boy words. Second, think just old people get scammed? Take some advice from Neve Shulman. Anyone can be scammed and robbed through an online scheme, so you always have to be on the lookout, especially on social media. But the big lesson? Never trust a woman who tells you she loves you and that she's making you a catfish for dinner. Not cool, Ma. Not cool. Thanks to Neve Shulman for being with us today. You can find him at neveshulman.com or check out his TikTok videos on getting financially catfished. This show is the property of SB Podcasts, LLC. Copyright 2021 and is created by Josal Sihat. Our producer is Karen Rapine. The show is written by the brilliant Paulette Perhatch with help from Joe and Doc G from the Earn and Invest podcast. Know how I know how brilliant Paulette is? She wrote the words I'm reading right now. While she's not putting awesome words in my mouth, she helps writers power their work and businesses power their words. See how she can help you at thatwriterpaulette.com. After you listen to our show, check out our show notes page and the 201 Deep Dives written by our website manager and blog editor, Brooke Miller. You'll find all things money at the 201, our newsletter, at stackingbenjamins.com/201. Once we get all of this goodness bottled up, it goes over to our engineer, the amazing Steve Stewart, who helps the rest of our team sound nearly as good as I do right now. Want to talk about the show later? Mom's friend Gertrude is our social media coordinator and room mother in our Facebook group, The Basement. So say hello when you see us posting online. Here's a weird fact. She and Tina Eichenberg are never in the same room at the same time. To join all the basement fun with other stackers, type stackingbenjamins.com/basement. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, reminding you that the Chipotle truck doesn't carry burritos. Lesson learned.
Hey, take a look at this, sir. Ooh la la.
Hold on. Hold it up to the camera.
It's hard to.
Yeah, so everybody can see it. Look at what.
Don't want to.
What is that? Is that a new mug? Oh, you fancy coffee?
Cappuccino.
Ooh. Wait a minute. Aren't you legally supposed to hold it like this with your pinky out? I think you have to.
I can't. It's a heavy mug.
You got to do some finger exercises.
Yes.
Okay. So how'd you get cappuccino at home?
I bought an espresso machine.
Awesome.
Uh-huh. But yeah,
I've thought about that, but two things stop me. Number one is I love paying $8.50 for a coffee. And number two, and number two, it just looks complicated. Like I watch those baristas do that. Is it complicated?
It's not bad. In fact, my wife's super mad because, she's like, what? It's December. Like, why would you buy yourself a something. Why would you buy yourself something? I said, well, it's probably not giving it away too much because I don't think anybody on my team listens to this part of the show anyway, but we bought them for everybody on the team. So when we had our little team retreat, everybody was enamored by the fact that that there was espresso machines in their hotel room. So I'm like, oh, perfect Christmas gift. We'll get everybody an espresso machines. And I got one too, obviously. Duh. So, yeah, you know, I'm having fun playing around with it.
That is cool. And so you made a cappuccino. Have you made lattes?
Yeah, I don't know the difference. Apparently there's a difference. Like the picture even shows a difference, right. But I'm not.
Cafe Americana. I'm only just listing the stuff that's on the Starbucks board. That's all I'm doing.
I made a latte, whatever the third one is. I don't know. It's like, it goes like espresso, then latte. I don't even know. It's the third one. It's the one at the very end. The macchiato. One where you put the foam in first. The macchiato. Is that it?
I don't know.
You put the foam in first.
I don't know. I'm just thinking of other stuff that's on the menu.
Just making up words.
I don't know any. Yes, we make up a word that sounds Italian. Giosefano.
Yeah, my mom was like, make me one. But I want to read all the, like, I want to see which espresso flavor I like most. And it's all in Italian. I'm like, okay, go ahead. And she's like, this one looks good. I go, what about it? It excites you the most. Okay. She's like, well, it's in a brown wrapper. So that to me signifies coffee.
Good luck with that. That's awesome. I got one of those, not nearly as playful, but I just got one of those European coffee makers. The, what's the name of it? Starts with a B.
Keurig. It's a German.
Oh, Keurig. That's right. It's so cute. It's so German.
I think it's a long U. It's like Keurig.
No, it's
something.
It's the one where you put the grounds in the bottom and then the water on top and you put it on the stove. It starts with a B. Somebody's screaming at their Boil device over. Right now. Yeah. Have you used one of those? And it makes that really rich European coffee. Super good. No. Very low tech. Really neat. My daughter got it for me for the holidays a couple of years ago.
And yeah, French press. We have a French press at home. Yeah. Sometimes we'll bust that out. Yeah.
You and I played around with the air press for a long time. You got me one of those.
Oh, yeah. I still have 753 million filters. Because they send you. They're like, here's a supply of them. You're like, how long will this last?
Lifetime.
Like, pretty much until the end of time. till the second coming.
Good thing
we'll be using. You will have filters until you're.
Good thing. Good thing those filters are as biodegradable as you and I are. You know.
I think they are though. Aren't
they? Are actually? Biodegradable. No, I wasn't kidding. Okay, yeah. I'm like, thank God they're biodegradable like you and I are because we're all gonna. But
that makes a good coffee too.
Yeah, it does make a good coffee.
AeroPress.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. I've got. I just went back to. Well, after visiting your house, I got the. When we moved back to Texarkana a year ago. I bought the Cuisinart thing like you.
The like little, you have, little grinder.
We put the grinder. Yeah. It's got the grinder on the top, makes coffee. Flipping love it. My favorite coffee maker I ever had. And frankly, the Keurig drove me crazy after a while. The coffee's okay. And those little pods just, you know.
Well, the Nespresso has pods too. So I'm hoping that it doesn't wear out its welcome.
Yeah.
But apparently they're also.
But it's a nice start. And what a nice gift for the team. That's cool.
You're not getting one.
You got to say hashtag spoiler. I'm not on that team. How do I get on this team? That's great. We can't talk about because they do listen to the show. What we got our team.
Ah, yes. That reminds me.
It's pretty got to call the guy about the thing.
I should probably do the thing with the stuff.
Well, this show's over, Stackers. But you know what? It's Military Appreciation Month. And that means that we've got time still for a shout out to members of our community, members of our family who have served our country. And you know what? Today, I want to give a shout out to two of my uncles, my Uncle Henry, who was in the Army. Let's do three. My Uncle Eddie, who was in the Army, and my Uncle Bill, also in the Army. And two of them served in Vietnam. One served in Korea. And a big thanks to all three of my uncles, my dad's brothers who served like he did in the military. And this Military Appreciation Month, Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate not just my uncles, but they want to celebrate their members who go above and beyond. Navy Federal offers member-only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to empower their members and help them reach their goals. Of course, you may be eligible for Navy Federal membership, and you don't even know it because it's open to all branches of the military, veterans, DOD employees, and their families. They're all eligible, and I want to reiterate, and their families. If you have family, like I do, who served in the military, well, then you're eligible for Navy Federal membership. Navy Federal's employees are part of the community they serve, and many of them are military family members, reservists, or veterans. Here during Military Appreciation Month, Stackers, go visit NavyFederal.org/celebrate, and you're going to see all of Navy Federal's Military Appreciation Month offers. So many cool things they're doing for veterans, you'll also see all their other awesome 24/7, 12 months of the year offers. That's NavyFederal.org/celebrate. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.